In the name of the living God, creator, redeemer, sustainer. Amen. Wouldn't it be extraordinary if we shed our protective armor for a time and talked openly in the church about the vipers that try to strangle us in our daily lives? The things that frighten us, the ghosts that haunt us, the expectations that daunt us, the surroundings that stifle us. Now, in this time of Advent, this dark, mysterious, deepening mystery that starts the church's year. But we don't. Mostly we lived buttoned up lives in a culture not given readily to emotional outbursts. And yet the gospel, both for today and Advent Sunday, indicates that there will be turmoil. There will be signs in the sun, the moon, and the stars, and on the earth distress among nations, we were told. Today, John the Baptist reminds people that the axe is lying at the foot of the trees, ready to cut down the tree that does not bear good fruit. And today, in 2015, there is stress, fear, and turmoil. We live in unsettled times when we are fearful to admit that we are nervous about going on the underground or spending too long in very public places, and where even St. Paul's Cathedral has started searching the bags of the visiting public. And this makes us edgy, which is probably just how the people were feeling in John the Baptist's time. Devout Jews were anxious for the coming of the Messiah. They were starting to question whether John the Baptist was himself the promised one. They had been under Roman rule for 100 years, and what resistance there had been was unsuccessful. People were ready for change and renewal. They wanted to be sure they were on target too. So they came to John, who was preaching repentance for the forgiveness of sins. This was fulfilling the need for repentance preached by the earlier prophets. Plunging themselves into the river for baptism was an outward and visible sign that they were to be found ready and waiting. I was in St. Michael's Chester Square the other day, and they have a large pool where adults are still plunged where they come for baptism. It's a powerful symbol. But as we know, outward and visible signs have to be accompanied by inward and an invisible grace. It has to be radical and life-changing. If we try to live out our Christian lives seriously, this radical change has to be visible in our lives. John the Baptist challenged those who flocked to him. He blasts us awake with the force of his message to the brood of vipers. And the message applies to us just as it did to those people centuries ago, seeking a new way and new hope and new freedom. The instructions John the Baptist gave them in answer to their questions were straightforward. They were to share, to be honest, and not to abuse power. All three are very valid today. In his commentary on an earlier chapter in Luke's Gospel, the theologian Tom Wright says, "If John were to come down your street with a megaphone, what would he be saying?" If we were doing this on retreat in groups with pencils and paper, it would be a valid question to answer. Today you're spared that. But in both centuries, both ours and theirs, the answers are about social reform, transforming ourselves and the societies in which we live. The fact that both are so difficult to do leaves us with this inner restlessness that churns inside. We are well into our Advent journey now, and on this, the third Sunday, this image of the axe cutting down the tree, not bearing good fruit, is sharp and haunting. In this great and holy season of Advent, there is this challenge to examine our inner restlessness and the swirling darkness within ourselves, and to seek the light which we know comes towards us. "Our hearts are restless till they find their rest in thee," said St. Augustine. But we still seek 1,000 diversions, particularly at this time of year, before we really settle to open our hearts and minds to the intensity and fulfillment of the God experience, when through Christ we open the door to him and let in the light to the desolation that lies inside each and every one of us. Each time I go to St. Paul's Cathedral, I visit the Holman Hunt picture, The Light of the World, a man reminded that Jesus knocks at the door, but we have to choose to open the door to let him in. This is our true homecoming. Zephaniah is full of homecoming in today's reading. The promise of this homecoming is revealed by Zephaniah. The Lord is in your midst, a warrior who gives victory. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will renew you in his love. He will exult over you with loud singing as on a day of festival. And then it changes, and God himself is saying, at that time, I will bring you home. At this time of year, we do think of home in all its connotations, particularly as we write cards and move towards Christmas, and think of all those memories that have decorated our lives. Whether good or bad, they have formed the fabric of our lives. We are all a mixture of joy and pain, but the discord is not resolved until we live in Christ. As we talk about our homecoming, we are well aware that the Christ child himself was homeless. So we cannot numb our minds as we sit in our coziness in a warm room with the tree and the presents that many of us will be lucky enough to have. For this year, God is surely more than ever to be found in every refugee, in the heartbreak of Syrians whose children have been killed or drowned. God is to be found in the midst of the heartbroken, whose friends and relatives died in Paris or were blown up in the Russian airliner. God is to be found in every homeless person, for whom no one knows of their existence, let alone their welfare. There are many people for whom this approach of Christmas is a time of unutterable grief, and somehow we have to hold them in our hearts and redefine what home really is. And heartache this year is even closer to home with those in Cumbria suffering from flooding and ruined plans for festivity. Luke always reminds us of our social responsibilities. Three times he demands our concern for the less fortunate. The crowds are told to share their clothes and food. The tax collectors are told to collect only what is rightfully theirs. And the solicitors are told to be satisfied with what they have and not to obtain money through threats or false accusations. We've already heard Luke demanding justice for the poor through the words of Mary in the Magnificat in an earlier chapter. It's a fundamental theme in Luke to which he will return again and again. Advent shows us that in the center of all the darkness we experience, there is an unquenchable fire, a light that the horror of transitory things cannot extinguish. It calls us to enter the maelstrom and be still. Be still and know that I am God. We wait for the event that changed the world and that continues to change it today. Every card we write, every present we wrap, should be done in that knowledge. I would like to read you two verses from two different poems. One I heard at a carol service last week. It's by John Betjeman and very well known. The poem is called Christmas, but it links us to the glory of Easter. No love that in a family dwells, no caroling in frosty air, nor all the steeple-shaking bells can with this simple truth compare. But God was man in Palestine and lives today in bread and wine. The other poem I hadn't read since I was a teenager at school when it was used in our nativity play, and I found it in a commentary on today's reading. It's by G.K. Chesterton, and I apologize if the use of the word men sounds dated to modern ears. To an open house in the evening, home shall all men come. To an older place than Eden, and a taller town than Rome. To the end of the way of the wandering star, to the things that cannot be and that are. To a place where God was homeless, and all men are at home. I love that verse because it leaves us feeling that home is where God is. Now we are on a journey discovering who we are, but our ultimate home is the home of all people, where in the words of the sublime King's College Cambridge prayer, we will see welcomed the poor and the helpless, the cold, the hungry, the oppressed, the sick and them that mourn, the lonely and the unloved, the aged and the little children, all those who know not the Lord Jesus, or who love him not, or who by sin have grieved his heart of love. Then we will see each other as we are seen by God. The Advent waiting will be over. Amen.